Sorry, we're going to get between Pesach and now. It didn't get lost in the shuffle. She has been sponsored by Sandy and Soul Born Harmon, Namir, Chaya Rusabash, Shlomo Zalman, Rashalom, Ruthie and Eliezer Zastavsky, and then Mark Blumbaugh, Namir of Ruben and Chaim Zal. To continue along the themes of some of the things we've been talking about during the course of the year, we've tried as best as we can. We didn't always succeed, but every once in a while we tried to be able to link some in Yana Diyoma to some of the issues of Rafua and extended medical issues that we spoke about during the course of the year. I thought we'd speak this week as a Shir B'fnei Atzmo, really, as a topic that's relevant for Sfiras Omer and relates to a medical issue as well. So the Shaila is raised in the post game. What would the halacha be in the following case? A person knows that they're going in for a medical procedure sometime during Sfiras Omer, and they're told in advance that they're going to be out of commission for a good 24 hours from this medical procedure, so they know in advance they're not going to be able to count the one day of Sfiras. The one day of Sfiras is surely going to get lost. The Shaila is a person holding on the second on the face that is about to start counting Sfiras Omer. So should he begin counting Sfiras with a bracha? Not. He knows on day 36 he's got an ex surgery scheduled, and they told him that he's going to miss an entire day of Sfiras. So can he count Sfiras knowing full well that he's going to for sure miss a day in the middle? So what is that halacha? I thought we would use this as somewhat of a springboard, the Shaila that the post can discuss, as a springboard to discuss certain issues concerning Sfiras Omer. So the first question is, does the fact that a person misses the day of Sfiras Omer have any relevance in halacha altogether? So this is, of course, a major machlokes and mishonim, whether that which every kid now knows, if you miss the day of Sfiras, gavalt, it's terrible, you can't count them over the bracha. So most of the Rishonim not only did not know about it, most of the Rishonim couldn't believe that it was true. So one of the Rishonim, already pre-Rishonim, the days of the Gaonim, was mechadish, this tremendous chadish of the person misses the day of Sfiras Omer, so that's it, he loses the entire mitzvah. That's the opinion of the Baal Halachas Gedolah. So Baal Halachas Gedolah says, quoting the Pasuk Chumash, Tamimus. Well, Tamimus means you have to count the entirely. If you miss a day, then the whole Sfiras Omer is null and void. So the truth is that notwithstanding the fact that the Torah does use the word Tamimus, that's not at all how Chazal interpreted the word Tamimus. The Gemara Maseches Menachos interprets Tamimus in a very, very different sense. The Gemara says, how do you know that you have to count Sfiras Omer at night? How do you know if you don't count it by Yom? Maybe you should count in the morning. So comes the Gemara and says, no, you're going to count in the morning. So it turns out your count is not really complete, that you missed the first half of the halachic unit of a day. So the halachic tamimos is mechayev us to count Sfiras Omer dafk at night. Here's the machlokes that we showed him. Does that mean, even likuva, does that mean that if a person misses Sfiras at night, so counting in the daytime is mamish nothing, that's zero, that's not this mamish, it's like eating matzah on the first day of Pesach. The mitzvah dafka, the erev tochel matzah, so the mitzvah dafka tamimos dafka balayla. That's what some Rishonim held. Some Rishonim said, it's mamish ma'akav b'di'evid. If you count in the daytime, it's not called the Sfiras Omer. And other Rishonim said, no. The Dizdir of Tzvimus is only l'chadchila, but b'di'evid, the Torah accepts any count whatsoever. So the Gemara's application of the term Tzvimus is clearly addressing the issue of not the entire unit of Sfiras Omer, but rather each and every unit of Sfiras Omer, each and every subunit of Sfiras Omer, each and every day has to be a Yom Tamim. And a Yom Tamim means that the Sfiras starts at night, it doesn't start in the daytime. From the Gemara itself, you don't get any indication that you're supposed to count early in the nighttime. I mean, there's always a cloud of Zuzma given the mitzvahs, but you don't get any indication that there's any difference fundamentally between counting at 9 o'clock at night and counting at 12 o'clock at night. So there's a taisus of Maseches Menachos and Asam of Rav that does imply that, tells actually says that, but the big Chiddush also says that there's an Indian to count as early as you can at night. It doesn't even go so far as to say that because of this Chiddush of theirs, there's an Indian based on Tzvimos to count as early as you can. The Tosfos says, therefore, you should really count Ben HaShmashos, since Ben HaShmashos is already Suffolk Laila, and Tosfos claims that Sfiras Omer is not as Zazonim with the Rabbanon. So Tosfos says, since the Maiz is Suffolk Rabbanon Lekuli, you Yotzi during Ben HaShmashos, therefore, it's even better L'chatchila to count during Ben HaShmashos. That's quite a chiddush. We usually don't accept that Tosfos Mahalach. Usually in Shulchan Aruch and later Poskim, so we assume that counting Ben HaShmashos is a Shmacha story. The Yevon is best, but according to the Rambam, you may be not even the Yotzi, but again, the Ikra did you probably Yotzi Ben HaShmashos. But for sure, it's not l'chadchila, shabu l'chadchila. So Tosfos has a tremendous chiddush, that there's an inyan to count not only at night, but there's an inyan to count early in the night. But even putting aside Tosfos, it's clear from the Gemara that the word Tamimos is referring to the day versus the night, has nothing to do with the person missing any of the days of Sfira. You find later, Acharonim have a chiddush that Tamimos means something entirely different. Tmimus means that when it comes to the Yatav Shavuos, so you shouldn't daven Ma'ariv earlier on Shavuos night, because that'll be a chisaron of Tmimus. That's already not in the Gemara, that's not in the Rishon, that's already a chum of the Taz, the mother of Ram. That's a much, much later story. But this Chiddush of the Mahag is a whole new twist on Tmimus. The Tmimus is not referring to each and every night, and Tmimus is not referring to the very end of the count, maybe the day before Shavuos, but Tmimus is referring to the entire count. That the whole sphere has to be a sphere of Tmimus. And if a person misses one day, that's a chesaron of Tmimus. That was the Baha'i's chiddush, that was his contribution to the new definition of Tmimus. So other Rishonim say, that there never was such a law, and the Chazal never told us that that's what Tmimus means. So we are not mechuyev to start making up new chumras. That's what Tosafos writes. Tosafos Maseches Megillah quotes the Tosafos Maseches Menachos and Megillah, they quote this Baha'i. And in one place they write that Divrei Baha'i and Divrei Tema, that it's a wonder that the Baha'i would ever say such a thing. Whoever heard of such a thing that missing a day is considered to be a chisaron in terms of the mitzvah. So how do we pass in the halacha? Machlek is the Baha'i and all the other Rishonim. So Shulchan Aruch says that in deference to the opinion of the Baha'i was an early a pre-Rishon, so we treat it like a shtipel snake of the din. We're not really sure what the halacha is. So therefore we tell everybody they should try not to miss a night, and if a person misses a night, they should continue to count. Some people think if they missed a night of Sphere, Ralph will come back next year. No, absolutely not. According to Ruben, the Rishon, you still look in Sphere, so of course you have to continue to count. So we choshesh to the Baha'i, that we don't make a bracha, we treat it as a snake in the dina. If the person missed a night of Sphere, then you no longer can count with the bracha, but we don't say that we really postulate the Baha'i. We're not sure, maybe the Baha'i's right, maybe not. So that which we're knowing, lahalocha shulchan aruch, to be choshesh to the Baha'i, to treat it like a quasi snake in the dina, and therefore we would not recite a bracha if a person knew in advance, if they knew that they tapa missed the night. So now we have to come to our shaila. So what should the halacha be if a person knows in advance that they're going to miss the night? So I know that in the Lag B'Omer I'm not going to be able to count. So can I count with a straight face with the bracha now? So would the Baha'i sanction that type of counting or not? So the Chora, the answer to this question depends on a fundamental question as to how to understand this chiddush of the Baha'i. The Baha'i is gevaldik chiddush that the other Rishonim didn't accept, the Gemara doesn't have. The Tmimus means that you have to count all 49 days. So one could raise the question, what's the nature of this din of Tmimus that the Baha'i was mechadish does? So is the pshat in the Baha'i that this is a very new understanding of the very nature of the mitzvah Sfiras Omer? Means whereas all the other Rishonim and conventional wisdom was that each night is a separate mitzvah. Harai, each night is a separate mitzvah. You make a separate bracha. So each night is a mitzvah. You miss one night, okay. So it's like putting on tefillin. I put on tefillin today. Whether or not I put on tefillin tomorrow, I'll have a married. So each mitzvah is a separate, each sphere is a separate entity. That's what most of the Rishonim say. And the Baha'i is telling us no. The Baha'i is saying that's not true. That there are 49 different parts of the mitzvah. If a person is missing part of it, so that's a pagam in the entire mitzvah. So according to the Baha'i, the mashal sphere of Omer would be much closer than to tefillin day to day. Rather, the mashal would be, let's say, within the mitzvah of tefillin itself. So there are four parshas of tefillin, and the four parshas of Ma'akim, one another. The first one, say, only has three of the four parshas. So the Mishnah says, you don't say, well, you get 75%. No, it's worthless. It's meaningless. If you put in a pair of tefillin, there's even one letter missing. Even a kutzah shayud missing. That's not a mitzvah of tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin is the entire unit of tefillin from beginning to end. So that's what the Baha'i is being mechadish to us. That's what the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer is. It's mamish one unit, and each one of the different 49 components are ma'akim and zazah. If that's the case, according to the Baha'i, then you have to try to understand why you make a separate bracha. So Mechori should make one bracha on the first night, and that bracha should carry you over for the whole Sfira. So the answer is that even though it's true that it's basically one mitzvah, but there are separate and distinct Maisa Shal mitzvahs. So brachas usually follow the Maisa Shal mitzvah. They very rarely follow the Kiyuma mitzvah. So even though you don't really get credit for the mitzvah until all 49 days are up, but since there are separate and distinct Maisa mitzvahs, So it's a quirk in Uchas Bracha that you recite a special bracha on each of the Maisa mitzvahs. But if you have another mitzvah from the Moshe Kriyas HaMegillah, so Kriyas HaMegillah also is one big mitzvah. If you miss one word, so the whole mitzvah is betela. So you don't make a new bracha on each word because you're reading one word right after the next word. So that's one long Maisa mitzvah, so one bracha suffices for the entire Kriya. But Hashem says, Sfiras HaOmer, since the nature of the mitzvah is such it's spread out over 49 different nights, So by default, you're required to recite a new bracha in each Maisa mitzvah. That's one simple pshat in the Baha'i. The Tmimus is megal to me about the very nature of the mitzvah Sfiras Omer, that it's not considered to be 49 separate mitzvahs, but rather it's one big mitzvah. So maybe one can present a totally different twist in the Baha'i. Maybe the Baha'i never meant to say that it's considered to be one mitzvah. The Baha'i concedes the conventional wisdom to all the other Rishonim that it's separate mitzvahs, and that's why each one gets its own bracha. But the Baha'i said that counting has to be continuous. So you can't count 35 if you didn't count 34. You can't count 34 if you didn't count 33. You can't just start counting 1, 2, 8. That's not like the little kid counts. So you eventually get old enough, you realize you have to count every single number. You miss a number, so the next one is not considered to be a count. So what the Mahan basically would be telling us, if that's true, is that when the person gets up the first night of Sefira and he counts the first night, he's Yaitzeh Mitzvah, that's a Mitzvah B'Shleimusa. What's going to happen tomorrow is Lamala L'Lamirin. He was Yaitzeh Mitzvah. When he counts day 2, counts day 3, counts day 4, each day he counts, is considered to be a Mitzvah B'Shleimusa. If he misses the night, then he can't continue from here on in. Kind of Lahavi, he can't continue, because that's not considered to be a Tzvimah, that's not considered to be a proper Sefira. But that, in no shape or form, disqualifies the previous four mitzvahs that he did. So every night that he counted consecutive, following in the, immediately in the heels of the previous count, is considered to be a Sefira Shel Tamimos. So Ma'anach Kamina La'alocha, between the two different versions of the Bahag, whether we accept that the Bahag meant to say that it's one big mitzvah and missing one part is like missing a Vashar Tefillin, or whether the Bahag concedes that the 49-7 mitzvahs is just that you require consecutive counting, so that a chaf enough kamina, our shayla. What's the name of the person who knows fully well that he's not going to make it on day 35? He's got a major surgery scheduled for day 35, out of commission for 24 hours. So is he going to, can he count the first 34 days of Shavir or not? If you reject the Bahag, we're going to talk about it, of course he can, but we're chashish for the Bahag, we will not make a brach in deference to the Bahag. So if you hold that the first guy in the Bahag is the correct shot, that it's one big mitzvah, so if I know in advance I'm not going to finish the mitzvah, I have no right to recite a bracha. Let's say Lamoshel, the guy starts to read the Megillah, and he knows he's got to go to work. He knows he's not going to have enough time. He's got 15 minutes, that's it. He can't finish the whole Megillah in 15 minutes. So he's thinking, I'll do whatever I can. So he figures he's going to get up to practice, and that's it. He's never going to finish the Megillah that day. So he can't make a bracha. He knows in advance. He's Mamash Bracha Levatola. So if a guy knows in advance, he's going to miss day 35, so he has no right to recite a bracha according to the Bahag. But if you hold the second shot, that the Bahag never meant to say that it's one big mitzvah, the Bahag just meant to say that you require a consecutive count, so then one can argue that when the first night comes, so right now it's consecutive, when the second night comes, the third night comes, the fourth night comes, each night that comes, which is still consecutive, as long as the count is still going, so he's fine, he's safe for those nights, and he can still recite a bracha. When he reaches day 35, he goes into surgery, so he won't count 35, and then when 36 comes, so then Tachi can't count with a bracha anymore. From here on, and after the night that he misses, that will be disqualified. But that doesn't throw into question the previous count. So l'chara, this shaila, the person who knows in advance that he's going to miss the day of Sefira, that's the perfect tefillah, the litmus test as to which shaila of the Bahag is correct. So now that we've identified what the shaila is, we've identified what the tefillah is, what's the answer to that? What's the din? What is the correct shaila of the Bahag? So it shouldn't come as a surprise that there's probably a machlokes as to what the Bahag says. It could be, but I don't know if a person would want to make a rocket based on that. It means the rover, they have to ask the doctors, ropes, I don't know, probably rope procedures that are scheduled to take place, no? But some, so tell the guy you can make a rocket because maybe Mashiach will come. So I don't know whether that's, maybe the doctor will go on vacation. I don't know whether that's enough to make a rocket. So what should that halacha be? So we have to go back to the Rishonim, go back to the Poskim and see what, how do they understand the Bahag? Which is the correct shot in the Bahag? So there is a remarkable position that appears in some Rishonim. The Mishnah Berurah dug up a group of Rishonim who had the following interesting pshar b'das of Bahag. That means they accepted the Bahag sheet, so that fundamentally if a person misses a day of Sefira, so that's a problem. That could prevent future counting. But it comes from Rishonim said, you could solve the problem. Let's say Lamoshel, it would be the 33rd day of Sefira. And all of a sudden he realizes, Gevalt, he forgot last night to count 32. So what does he do? He just missed 24 hours, and that's it, and Bahag, and he can't make a brach anymore. So no problem. Come and group of Rishonim and say, gets up on night 33, and he says, yesterday was 32, and today is 33. And sure, and then he can continue. He can say, yesterday was 32, brach Hashem 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 HaShem, and that's okay. What kind of game is that? He says, yesterday was 32, now 33, yesterday's over already. So the answer is, those Rishonim are clearly understanding that the idea of Tumimos that the Bahag says is not a halacha that it means one big mitzvah. It would mean one big mitzvah that must be performed on 49 different nights, so the night's over, 32 is gone. Every Yom Kippur, saying that yesterday was 32 is meaningless, so that's not going to be mashed in the mitzvah.
But if you hold that the whole chishon of the Bahag is that you require the consecutive counting, so these are shanim of chadesh, that the consecutive counting need not be a spiritual mitzvah. That as long as he said the words, yesterday was 32, so that's enough to keep this 31, 32, 33, knowing that's sufficient, since the requirement of the chishon of missing a day is not a pagam in the etzel mitzvah, it's merely a pagam in the degree of consecutive counting. So if you can somehow patch that up and touch that up by saying yesterday's day first, then maybe that would be sufficient. The question is, the other Rishonim who don't quote the Baha'i that way, the other Rishonim, we usually don't assume like this pshat. We usually assume according to the Baha'i, you missed the night. That's it, finish. You can't make up with a game of yesterday's count. So what's pshat? Is pshat that all the other Rishonim who don't present the skula, they disagreed fundamentally. They held that, no, the reason why the Baha'i wouldn't buy into such a story of saying yesterday's night first is because it's one big mitzvah, and if you miss part of the mitzvah, you're gone. Or maybe not. Maybe the other Rishonim held that consecutive is very nice, that's cute, that's a game, that's not called consecutive counting. The consecutive counting just has to be on the appropriate night. So it's unclear from the Rishonim who don't quote this eight, so what they necessarily hold. But those Rishonim who did quote the eight, it's quite clear that they did not believe that it's one big mitzvah, they believe that it was basically just an issue in terms of keeping up the count. Are there any other possible rides that we can bring? So there is a comment of the Mishpura, that the Mishabura clearly is taking a stand on this issue. There is a discussion in the Rishonim whether women are obligated in Spirit Omer. Why should women be Pteros? So, L'charev to Mitzasei Shazman Krav. That's what I would have said. It's Ein L'chav Mitzasei Shazman Krav. It's got to be Dafka this time of year. So that's what the Rambam writes. Rambam L'chusvinu Musaf and Paskins, that women are in fact Pteros from the Mitzvah Spirit Omer, not surprisingly. And the Ramban disagrees. So there is a cryptic statement of the Ramban in Maseches Kiddushin, where the Ramban in the Sugya Mitzvah Tesei Shezman Grama, where the Ramban seems to say that women are chayavos in Sfiras Omer. The reason why I say seems to say is that the Rav believed that it was a Tel Tzayfer. He said, you can't believe the Ramban ever said such a thing. The Ramban doesn't explain himself. He just lists off mitzvahs, which are mitzvahs Tesei Shezman Grama, and he throws Sfiras Omer in the middle of the list. So the Rav said, if the Ramban really meant it, this is a bombshell. He should have explained what he's talking about. How can that be a mitzvah say she'ainas man grama? The Chavarim read pages and pages and pages of Sikkel Torah to explain the Ramban. The Ramban should have explained himself. So the Rav didn't believe this whole story, but putting this, Rav's dichi aside, everybody else did assume the Ramban said it. So assuming that the Ramban really said it, it does not necessarily mean that we pass it this way. So the Mishnevura quotes from the later Achron, who said, we don't really pass like this Ramban, the Mikra, then we hold that women are in fact Pteros from Sfiras Omer. So the Mishnevura writes that since the Ikra, then we hold that women are Pteros from Sfiras Omer, if they want to volunteer, that's wonderful. The Magen Avraham says that the minhag in his communities in Europe was that women did volunteer to count Sfira. So the Mishnevura says, that's great, we have no problems with women volunteering to count Sfiras Omer. Says the Mishnevura, what about the volunteer recite a bracha? So that should be the old story about whenever a woman volunteers to do any mitzvah that she's Ptura from, can she recite a bracha? Not. So a woman sits in a sukkah, can she make a bracha? A woman shakes a lulav, can she make a bracha? So that's what Machlaik is, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. So Ashkenazim generally follow Rabbeinu Tam, who says that they do volunteer. So all their wives, they all make brachas when they sit in the sukkah, they make leshi of a sukkah, when they shake lulav, they make abatilas lulav. So according to the Dinah Ashkenaz, there should be nothing wrong with a woman reciting the bracha of Sfiras Omer before she volunteers to count Sfira. So the Mishnah Berurah says no. The Mishnah Berurah says that lulav is okay and sukkah is okay, but Sfiras Omer is a problem. Says the Mishnah Berurah, he thinks that a woman should not recite a bracha when she counts Sfiras Omer. Why not? So says the Mishnah Berurah, because there's an excellent chance that she's not going to remember to count every single night. Why is there a worse chance for a woman than a man? So we have to put things back in Robin in the end of the 1800s. What was the only thing that could possibly remind you to count Sfira? Was the daven. You daven in shul. You come to shul. You daven in the mirav. And immediately then there's a chance you can remember to count Sfira Omer. First and down is Yechida, so they have the chips stacked against them to begin with. So says the Mishnah Berurah, the men are coming to shul, so there's a good chance most men will remember to count every night. A woman, she wants to be, she's going to volunteer, so the first time she'll, by the Seder, that she remembers. It says in Agar Be'adr, who to count Sfira, who she counts. Because she should remember the second night. Third night, eventually it's in the middle of Sfira, so there's an excellent chance she's going to miss one night. So the study that Mishnah Berurah wouldn't apply. There's Manazet. We have so many different people got emails. They got things. They got alarms going off, bells. They're all over the place reminding them how to count Sfiras Omer. Right, so maybe you have to reevaluate that sack of the Mishnah Berurah. But the Mishnah Berurah was saying in his day, it was clearly that there was a very real chashash that the women are going to forget. So Azma, the women are going to forget. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to present that if the women are going to forget, so then they can't even start. It means how can you start on the first night of Sfira and count when there's an excellent chance you're going to forget? Very similar to our case, the guy's going for surgery. The guy knows he's getting this Sphira. The woman knows she's never made it. For the last 30 years, she never made it through Sphira. So what right does she have to start the Sphira now? I'll smach that she's going to make a bracha. I'll smach she's going to finish. She's probably not going to finish. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah frowns upon the practice of women counting Sphira with the bracha because of that consideration. So that consideration of the Mishnah Berurah, again, whether the particular chashash applies to this man is up for question, but even if the Mishnah Berurah's chashash is true, so the Mishnah Berurah is clearly assuming that there's something wrong with that scenario, there's something wrong with that setup. A person to recite a bracha knowing that they're going to miss Sphira is a problem, the Mishnah Berurah says. So the Emes says that the Acharon, the Mishnah Berurah is quoting, this wasn't his own idea, so if you take a look at that sefer itself, so it would appear that that's not exactly what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. One could read it in a different way, that perhaps the Chashash is as follows, that in the Hanavi, if a woman wants to count the first night of Sphira and she hasn't forgotten yet, so good, no problem, not a count, but a bracha, fine, we have no problems, no qualms with counting with the bracha. She counts the second night, the third night, the fourth night, every night that she hasn't yet forgotten, so she can still count with the bracha. Even though she knows by day 8 she's going to be out of the picture, it doesn't matter. Kozman, she hasn't forgotten, she's still okay. What we're afraid of, these acharonim that the Shabur is quoting, we're afraid of, is that if she forgets to count Sphira, she may not be aware of the halacha that she's not supposed to continue to count with the bracha. So then she's going to continue to count with the bracha. That's the problem. There's nothing wrong with the first 8 brachas that she made. The first 8 brachas were perfectly okay. The fear is that from day 8 onward, she's going to continue to count with the bracha, and that's not Hashem like it is. So if that's the case, if that's what those acharonim are saying, then they're saying the exact opposite of the Mishnah Berurah. Mr. Brewer is saying that if you know in advance you're going to miss a day, don't start with the bracha. Don't take a chance for the haggah, that's end of discussion. According to the other Echmanim, no, there is no such a bracha, that you're allowed to start with the bracha. Kozman, you're still going. You're still going. So that machloek is to Mr. Brewer and the others, is clearly achakir, is clearly ashayla. What's the nature of the mitzvah of spirit according to the Bahag? Is it one big mitzvah? Do you miss any part, you're finished? So you can't even start. If you know you're going to miss, like you know you're going to miss a word of the Megillah, so you can't make a bracha to start with. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah is assuming. That's what some Rishonim are assuming. And others are saying, that the nature of the din of Sphirat HaOmer, even according to the Bahag, is the same as according to everybody else. It's 49 different mitzvahs. But once you miss the day, then it's no longer consecutive. Then you can no longer proceed forward. But Lamafreya, retroactively, you're perfectly okay. The very other Nachkaminas, Ludina, within this Shiloh. So here you have a whole series of different shilas that come up, some are happy occasions, some are a little bit sadder occasions. When you have situations of a person who may be counting Sphira, technically he's saying the words all 49 days, but there's some chisaron with some of his Spheras. There's something halachically wrong with one of his Spheras. What is wrong with the Sphira? He happens to be putter from Sphira at that time. How is he putter from Sphira? So you have the same shilas, the achronim out, the kutnash, the gaud of him as Sphira. You have a child who turns by mitzvah in the middle of Sphira's over. So what's his story? So if you hold against the Bahag, there's no story, there's no, if the Bahag wouldn't be right, the 99% of the Bar Mitzvah Roshas that are given at this time of the year would be out the window. According to the other Rishonim, so what's the big deal? When he turned Bar Mitzvah, they're 38, he's like, I'm going to bracha and shrek. But where Chayishish is the Bahag, so the Shalah becomes a real one. The child who has been, he's been counting the first 37 days, but he was potter, so can he continue to count from 38 onwards, I'll smach the Sphira that he counted at the time when he was potter. So that's the Shalah, all the Echorim told me about, the old people about that. So, every possible permutation of a shayla gets thrown into this mix. So first you have to discuss, do we really holik the bag, not holik the bag. Then you have to discuss, what's the nature of a mitzvah is done when a person is putter. Then you have to discuss, well, is a child really putter from mitzvahs because chinuch, he's still chayav mitam chinuch. But chinuch is only mitzvah rabbanon and sphirus over maybe deraisa. So you have to spend 20 minutes talking about the sphirus over deraisa derabbanon. Then you got to talk about two derabbanon, three mitzvahs, one derabbanon. Each one of those subtopics can be mamash hoshi and tloli. That's why every mitzvah boy has his own unique drasha to talk about. So that's a complicated drasha, a very complicated topic. What's the din of the child who's nisgad over mehas sphira? Then you have on the other end of the equation, you have a sadder application of the Shaila. What if a person becomes an Onein Rechman Tzvah during Sphira? So the Mechori can't count Sphira because an Onein doesn't do mitzvah. He's potter from mitzvah. And according to most of Shem, he's also to do mitzvah also. So an Onein is not going to be counting Sphira's Omer. So how is that going to play out in terms of his subsequent nights? So the Nedev Yehuda, the Chiddush, Nedev Yehuda says that he thinks that an Onein has to count Sphira. Because he says, the Medrash Memurim that the Halacha exempts an Onein from mitzvahs, those are only mitzvahs which are limited in terms of scope. It means today's a mitzvah tefillin, so the Onin doesn't put on tefillin today. Today is a mitzvah kriyishma, it doesn't say kriyishma today. But any mitzvah that the lack of doing that mitzvah is going to have implications, consequences down the line past the aninus, So we don't have any precedent to Chazal Patr of Yisrach and Nisma. So therefore, says that Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't daven, he doesn't bench, he doesn't make brachas, doesn't do anything, but he counts Shmiras HaOmer, because Shmiras HaOmer was the exception to the rule. So that's the big chiddush that Rabbi Yehuda, most of us, I don't think he accepted that. So assuming that the onan is potter from Shmiras HaOmer, so let's say he goes out and he counts, he says the words anyway. So can that count, literally, can that continue the count, if the count that he had was a count that was B'Shas Ptur? So you have the same Tulpul of Yavai Kotlam, can the mitzvah you do B'Shas Ptur count, it can be Motzi, yes, no. So that whole discussion in the post-gim about whether a sphere that was done to Ptur, can that continue to count going, Pashta seems to be assuming that one particular version of the Bahag. It seems to be assuming that according to the Bahag, every single day must be counted, and every single day must be counted B'Teres Mitzvah, and every single day must be counted B'Teres Chiyuv. And if there's any day that's missing B'Teres Mitzvah, B'Teres Chiyuv, that's going to throw into question the validity of the entire Mitzvah. Let's take the person. Let's say a person hears the whole Megillah from a Gadol, and he has one word from a Katan. So it doesn't matter. The one word you're from a Katan is Kamando Leisa. So according to the Bahag, if you hold the Pshat in the Bahag, is that there are 49 different parts of the Mitzvah, but every single day is Ma'akev. You miss one day, that's like missing a word in the Megillah. So if one day was read B'Shas Ptur, it was said B'Shas Ptur, that's going to throw into question the validity of the entire Mitzvah. But others suggested, the Rav, and others suggested that if the Pshat in the Bahag has nothing to do with being one mitzvah, even according to the Bahag, it's different mitzvahs, it's just that you require the continuity, so why does the continuity have to be a continuity shel chiyuv? If Lamaisi said the number 32 yesterday, whether he was a Kotter, whether he was Jewish, he wasn't Jewish, well, who cares what happened? Yesterday he said the word 32, so when he gets to 33, he's continuing to count. Like Marshall Mazda Vedoma, the same way that was Sami Shannon Musebi, you can get up on night 33 and say yesterday was 32. The statement of yesterday was 32 is not a Sefir Shal Mitzvah. That's not a Dibu Shal Mitzvah. That's a Gornish. That's nothing in Allah to say what yesterday was. It's true, but you don't need a Sefir Shal Mitzvah. As long as you have a continuity, that's also sufficient. So all these Echvarim, all the Bar Mitzvah, Allah and Shtikul Torahs, who are working to try to figure out, can we count the sphere of the Ayin, the sphere of the Katan, as a valid sphere? They're all assuming that it's more than just keeping up the count, but you have to have a count shal mitzvah, you have to have an actual sphere shal mitzvah. If one questions, then it's all yourself, then nafla yourself, nafla minyans. So do we have any other rayas from the Shona, that we have from the Shtibura, we have Acharonim, Tupul, and later Acharonim, do we have any rayas b'chlal from the Shona to the Shaila? What is the halacha according to the Bahag? Is it really one long mitzvah or not? So there is a Tosfos tucked away in Maseches Ksubos that seems to have some input into this shaila. Tosfos raises the following seemingly innocent question. Tosfos asks, how come when it comes to Sviras HaOmer, so we make a whole to-do with Sviras HaOmer, we make a bracha, Shekin Shem Ritzvah, Tzivam, Hivim, Mucham Zum, and it's a whole mitzvah to make a bracha on. There's another Svira that we do during the course of every month, that a woman does every month, Svira Shivanakiyam. So it's also possible to call Mishnah Safala Shivanakiyam Yachaditar. That's also a Mishnah Svira, presumably. So he tells the question, how come when a woman counts Shivanakiyam, she doesn't miss out a bracha? Yom Yom Risha the Shivanakiyam, Yom Sheyel the Shivanakiyam. How come there's no bracha that's beside? That's the question that I suggest. So the Achronim go to town and this tells us, what was Tosfos' question exactly? When should this bracha have been said exactly? What point in time should the woman recite this bracha? That at the end of the day, there is no such bracha, for technical reasons, we'll see in a moment. But what point did Tosfos dreaming that there should have been such a bracha? So the Neid Yehuda quotes from the Shlach Kadosh, who had the following tremendous chiddush based on this Tosfos. The Shlach Kadosh said that what Tosfos meant was as follows, that when the woman gets up in the morning, so she should get up and she should say, Yom Yom Rishon, Meshivinikim, Dibur, Mamash Bepeh, she should be Motzi with her own mouth, she should say it, just as there's a mitzvah Sevira Bepeh, but Sevira Omer. Just as Sevira Omer, it's not enough just to think that today's 35 is Sevira, that's not enough, it's a mitzvah Dibur, so too there's a mitzvah Vesafel HaShivis Yom Yachatitar, so that mitzvah Sevira would have warranted a brach, and tell you just not totally why it doesn't. So said, we're going to get to it in a second. That's going to be part of Tosfos' terence. So this is the Shlach explaining what Tosfos' Havamina was, what Tosfos' Kasha was. And when the woman gets up every morning, she should say, oh, today is the first day of Shiva Nikiyam. And then, even though Tosfos, at the end of the day, rejects the bracha, which we'll see in a moment on technical grounds, claims the Shlach, Tosfos didn't reject the mitzvah. Tosfos didn't, it's a possible chumash, for Safal HaShivis Yavim. Manishtana, v'svartam lochem v'vachas HaShavis, from the Safal HaShivis Yavim. This is the mitzvah Diba, that's the mitzvah Diba, that's what the Shlach Kodesh says. So therefore, he paskins l'maisa that every time a woman is in the middle of Shivanakiyam, each and every day she's got to get up and say the Tem Malay, Hayom Yom Rishon l'Shivanakiyam, Yom Shein l'Shivanakiyam. So the Neduda quotes the Shlah, and he says that we don't follow the Shlah Laloch. He writes that nobody ever heard of such a thing. He says, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until today, no one ever heard of such a mitzvah. So the women never heard of this for sure, and the men never heard of this. So where does it say in the Gemara? There's a mitzvah to count. There's a mitzvah, Shvirishim Nikiyah means, to make sure that the days are Nikiyah, to check itself, to make sure that there's no bleeding, but to make a statement, to make an oral statement that a Yom Yom Rishon Hashem Nikiyah, Lo Shemana Dava Zeme Yoylam. So then the Neduda writes a little bit in a humorous comment. He says that where did the Shmuel get this idea from? So he said he got it based on a pasuk in Tehillah. The pasuk in Tehillah says, "Oh, if kesef lo yispa kesef." The pasuk says a person who loves money, so will never get enough of money. He'll never be satiated with money. So the Gemara says in that pasuk, "Oh, if mitzvah lo yispa mitzvah." If a person really loves mitzvahs, so they can never get enough. They always want more mitzvahs. So the Navida says the Shmuel was such a gavaldik of mitzvahs. He was such a gavaldik tzaddik that the 613 mitzvahs that Rosh Hashanah gave weren't enough. He wanted the 614, so he made it for 614 mitzvah kovasafala. I didn't say that. That's what the Rebbe writes about the Shlom. Right? He's saying it, he's criticizing Yeshita but complimenting him as a Heilige Tzaddik as he was. Anyway, I call upon him. It's usually assumed not like this Shlom. It's usually assumed that that's not exactly what Tosfos is driving at. What the mitzvah was is unclear, but there is no such mitzvah of Shriva Pevashiv and Nikiyim. So whatever Tosfos meant, whatever mitzvah they were suggesting, the Maisa, why is there no bracha on it? So Tosfos says, no, you can't make a bracha on Shriva Pevashiv and Nikiyim. That tells us Shematira Vitistar. So it tells us, how are you going to make a bracha? How are you going to get up with a straight face and say, Yom Rishon the Shivanakiyim? And what if she's not sustained 2 days from now? So the halach is, if a woman has a riyas dam during Shivanakiyim, so that disqualifies all Shivanakiyim. It sells them afresh. Got to sell all over again. So the Tosfos says, how can you say with a straight face that today's the first day Shivanakiyim? It could be in the 7 days she'll have a riyah. She's going to mess everything up with Mafreya. So therefore, Tosfos says, because of this technical quirk, Chazal could not have possibly warranted reciting a bracha on a mitzvah that there's a chance that's not the yalchut to finish, a mitzvah that's up in the air that may get messed up, so such a mitzvah doesn't warrant a bracha. Ad kam divya tashish. So the Achmedim point out that if the Bahag is right, that if you miss a day of Svira, so it's over and finished, so we have to ask the same question about Svira Omer. How can we recite a bracha on Svira Omer? How can anybody ever recite a bracha on Svira Omer? How can you get up on the first night of Svira Omer? Forget the women, the men. How can a man get up and count Svira? There's a chance that he may forget, even if he has a good track record. He's never forgotten the last 50 years, but again, you never know. So Shema Tirvatisto, Shema Yishkach. So why don't we ask that same question? The same way that Taisha disqualifies the bracha on Svira Shivanikiyim, let's disqualify the bracha on Svira Omer. So the answer may be that we misunderstood the Bahag. Maybe the Bahag holds that if a person's counting Svira, and then they miss a day of Svira, that does not disqualify the Svira of the Mafreya. It only disqualifies the Svira of the Kan Lahaba, because the nature of the Din of Tumimus according to the Bahag is not redefining the mitzvah as one night of mitzvah. It's just insisting that the count be consecutive. So from the day that the person missed it onward, Tachin can't recite a bracha anymore. But the first 35 days that he counted were a Svira Shal Mitzvah, wasn't a bracha levatola. Taisha said by Svira Shivanakiyim, if the woman's going to make a bracha on day one and she has a re'i on day three, it's going to turn out that what day one was done was not a bracha levatola. It's not that she got credit for doing 2 out of the 7 days. It's nothing. Svira Shivanakiyim is a unit. If you miss all 7, it's all levat levatola. So by Svira Shivanakiyim, it's inconceivable to recite a bracha for that reason. Shematir v'tistor. But by Svira Sa'omer, it's not a problem. By Svira Sa'omer, what do you mean Shematir v'tistor? Shema Yishkach. So Shema Yishkach. We can't love you. Always said a bracha. But I'm afraid the bracha was still valid. So if the Bahag and Tosfos see eye to eye with each other, if the Bahag was bothered with Tosfos' question, and if the Bahag believed that Tosfos' answer was correct to explain away Shivanakiyim, so then we would have an interesting insight into the sugya. Of course, it's a very, very big if that we have no idea of knowing whether the Bahag even thought of Tosfos' kash in the first place. Maybe the Bahag held it was never a mitzvah b'chlal b'shvir Shivanakiyim. It's not even a mitzvah. It's just part of the Torah process. It's nothing to do with the mitzvah. So maybe the Bahag was never bothered with the question in the first place. And we have no way of knowing whether this Tosfos accepts the Bahag. We know other Tosfos didn't accept the Bahag. So Ashtikul Torah is only right if both Tosfos and the Bahag are right. But we have no reason to believe that the two have to necessarily go hand in hand. So when all the dust settles, we have a lot of different permutations, a lot of different shadows that have been thrown around. We have the women counting and the Mishnah Berurah Taina. We have the Onin counting and the Katan counting and the issue of Svira Shivanakiyim and how that plays out in terms of Svira Omer. We have a lot of issues that are all revolving around the same Chakira, but we still haven't got the absolute answer as to what the Shittas of the Hag is. The answer is that, in fact, I don't know what the absolute answer is. I'm not really sure what exactly the Hag would hold. So now the Shadow becomes, you have this guy who he wants to know the Shadow. So we finish all the Sikkot Torah. He wants to know, Rabbi, he's going for surgery next week. Should he continue to count now with the bracha, knowing that he's going to miss a day? So I would say the Parshas is that he should continue to count with a bracha for the following reason. That the whole Bahag in the first place is a really a Das Yochid. Rubin the Rishonim held like Tosfos, like the Rambam, that you miss a day, each day is a separate mitzvah, and there is no din of commitments and finished. So Me'ika Mikra Din, we don't really accept the Bahag. Elo, we treat the Bahag as a snake of the Dina. So already the Shulchan Aruch and the Shabur already points us out as Ma'arich on this, that yes, we hold like the Bahag, but any time we have any suffix